My name is Suzanne, and I'm here to help Reverend Friendly. For those of you who know him, welcome back. And for those of you who don't, well, you're about to get a sampling of something quite different. He's was once a very eloquent speaker, but due to some strokes and other issues, his speech sometimes is, most times is...
And poetic.
And most poetic, yeah, absolutely. But it's difficult to understand him. So just he wanted to apologize for that, and I'll just help him out where I can. So without further ado, here's Mr. Reverend Friendly.
When chills run up your spine, when the hair stands up on the back of your neck, when your eyes fill with tears and your heart overflows with joy, then you'll know you've heard the truth. Now, sometime in each person's life, the question comes to mind, what is my purpose here on earth? What task am I assigned? Why was I born into this world of fleeting joys and pain? And if life's a predestined thing, what will my efforts bring? And then sometimes when troubled things upon the mind do play, we seek relief in flowing tears, or maybe we might pray. Or perhaps we might request some wiser one's advice, which route a tranquil life to find, and tell me, what the price? Should we, like empires that have passed, be born, ascend, and fall? When we have spent a lot of time, will death then end it all? These thoughts and others crowd our minds until they almost bust. But if persistence bids us search, the answers come to us. The basic thing we must accept, that God supreme exists, who made the universe entire and placed us in its midst, and set the natural laws we know that order might prevail, and test of life for us that we might pass or fail. He gave to us dominion over sea and over land. Creation was completed when he made and called us man. But man too must adhere to law, his purpose to fulfill, one basic task assigned to him, submitting to God's will. For this alone he shaped our forms and breathed within them breath, then sent the prophets to explain existence after death, then sent the books to guide our lives and make our habits right, and bid us think of all it is and contemplate it might. He set down knowledge to pursue, and spoke of sacrifice, and set man's goal beyond the grave, hell or paradise. He brings to mind some other men who might examples be, that we may follow in their steps and learn humility. The knowledge comes, creation is, premeasured from within. Humility is proper use, misuse we label sin. So if we live our lives correct and follow laws divine, no problems of this temporary life could then confuse the mind. No worries of tomorrow, or the problems it may bring, for earthly burdens like this life are but a passing thing. For each one's fate before the birth already was decreed, the task you willingly submit, while mercy we do plead. And in the knowledge of this life, we all should understand that hardships are the spice of life that mold a perfect man. So the task should not be weight for those who are aware. This is precaution of the wise, the future to prepare. For there is but one certainty this phase of life will end, but we have not the knowledge of how or where or when. Now, if you can stand any more, I'll do another one.
Just a moment, excuse me for a sec.
What's up, Rev?
Sorry, I forgot to introduce Fergus earlier. We just met.
Let him continue.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show, everybody. It's good to have you guys in the studio. What's up, Rev? How you been, man? How you been, dude?
You talking to me?
Yeah, how you been?
Oh, fantastic.
Cool. What you been up to, man?
Well, mostly I'm concerned with the talent development show for the helpless and... We're doing a talent show for the jobless and the homeless. And it's...
Cool.
It's Well, Susanna's going to read something to you about that.
I can do that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what you got? Cool.
Yeah, this is Rev, so it's kind of third person, but I'll do it him. Listen up and pay close attention. I have something special to tell you. I'd like to tell you about Reverend Friendly's new project. It's a talent show for the homeless and jobless, and it's sponsored by God's Gang. And what inspired it for Rev is, he says, I believe when you share your God-given talent with others or do a good deed with no expectation of a reward, here's what happens. The angel of goodness touches our soul, and you become so inspired and enthusiastic that you're possessed by God. Your God-given talent is the greatest treasure you possess. Good. Cherish it, nurture it, cultivate it, and perfect it, and share it with others as often as you can. For to share your God-given talent with others, to make a connection with another human being, to touch someone's soul for a while, become like-minded, kindred spirits, vibrating on the same wavelength. This, his humble opinion, is the quintessence, the highest of the highest of all religious and spiritual experiences. Share it with everyone you can. Don't, for God's sake, in the name of Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, let it go to waste. Nothing, no thing in this world can lift up and boost your morale and self-image more than sharing your gift with the world. You give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. And remember this, when you bring sunlight into the life of others, you cannot keep it from yourself.
Bravo, what do you think, for the first time?
Cool.
What an introduction.
I dig that.
Hallelujah, praise be to the Holy One.
Yeah, man, cheers.
This is he who fell by foes. This is he who fell by foes, sprung harmless up, refreshed by blows. He to captivity was sold, him no prison bars could hold. Though they seared him in a rock, mountain chains he could unlock. Thrown to lions for their meat, the crouching lions kissed his feet. Bound to the stake, no flames appalled, but surrounded him with an honoring belt. This is he, men miscall fate, treading dark ways, arriving late. But always coming in time to crown the truth and hurl wrongdoers down. He is the oldest and best known, more near than anything you call your own. Yet greeted in the gleam of another's eyes, disconcerts with glad surprise. This is the Holy One, who deaf to prayers, floods with blessings, unawares. Draw if you can the mystic line, severing and separating God from thine, which is human, which is divine. O love, whose lordly hand has bridled my desires, and raised my hunger and my thirst to dignity and pride. Let not the strong in me and the constant eat the bread or drink the wine that tempt my weaker self. Let me rather starve and let my heart parch with thirst, and let me die and perish before I stretch my hand to a cup you did not fill or a bowl you did not bless. And now an old-timer, not quite as old-timer as I am, I got a few years on him, but he's going to give us a few minutes. He plays the banjo and he's got a rough old country voice, healthy and really sweet to listen to. Go ahead, Burgess.
From the old country, huh?
Yeah, if you guys are going to jam, do it over there. Like, park, go in the green area.
Oh, go over there. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it's going to go.
Let's do it then.
Maybe I could, I had in mind an a cappella song that I thought I might begin with. The way you were just talking, Rev, it got me to thinking about the various paths to the divine, because there are so many ways to unite with God. Today, in this country, maybe the best known is through Jesus, and I'm a music guy, I'm a singer of songs. I'm not a purveyor of ideas to people about spiritual paths. I'm not one to recommend a path to anyone. But I think this is a beautiful song, and it expresses a message of hope, regardless of where you wind up turning when you need to turn for help. There is hope that help can be available. This song comes from the sacred singing tradition of a minority sect of Christians in eastern Pennsylvania in the 19th century. How lost was my condition till Jesus made me whole. There is but one physician to cure a sin sick soul. Next door to death he found me and snatched me from the grave to tell to all around me his wondrous power to save. The worst of all diseases, his light compared with sin. On every part it rages, but seizes most within. 'Tis palsy, plague, and fever, and madness all combined. And none but a believer the least relief can find. From men great skill professing, I thought a cure to gain. But this proved most distressing, and added to my pain. Some said that nothing ailed me, some gave me up for lost. Thus every refuge failed me, and all my hopes were crossed. You never know which way your help is going to come from.
Love it. Yeah. Cool. Great, you can tell when something's real.
Now, did you want me to move over here into the corner?
Oh, yeah, man. That'd be, if you're going to do a set or something, I don't know what
look
the...
Green over there.
I have to say, I walked in the door not knowing what was going to happen. So
we don't know either. So
sort of shooting from the hip, but if you want me to play some tunes, well, that's something
I don't
love to do.
I'm not too sure what your guys' plan were, but sounds like you're jamming
out.
I was just following him.
Yeah.
Because he asked me to come.
Yeah.
Well, when you guys do a jam or something, go over there.
Nice. Nice, Jay.
Well, one of the great sources of music, or at least one of the great locales for music styles to begin in the United States, has always been New Orleans, Louisiana. It sits at a particularly prime location for the intersection of cultures, and there you find people descended from slaves, and people descended from mountaineers, and people descended from Mexicans, and people descended from Caribbean islanders, and people from France and Spain, and nowadays many people from China and Vietnam there as well because of the shrimp activity. A lot of people believe jazz began in New Orleans, and the blues. So here's a song from the American jug band tradition of the South from the 1920s.
Soon they had me surrounded and carried me to the city jail, and it hard, and it hard, just looking through the bars. Soon they had me surrounded and carried me to the city jail.
Sick, man. That was sweet.
As you were speaking, Rev, about sacrifice and service and about making one-to-one connections and about knowing just who you are and where you are, there's a song I've known for a long time. It's one of the most famous American folk songs. Most everybody who's sings folk songs knows this one. It's kind of, it comes in the line of great heroic poetry that's come down to us through all the ages. 1,000 years ago, when they wrote sagas, they didn't write them, but they told sagas about great heroes who were had won great battles or had killed terrible dragons and won great stores of gold or jewels or saved damsels from the dragons. There was always certain things about that hero who would be the central character in the tale. He would be, of course, physically
Love a hero. Yeah.
You know, he would always be good-looking, but he would be strong and brave.
Yeah.
And also have a certain amount of pride in his ability, but it was also, he turned that ability to help the other people in his community. And also, often those guys had, they had something that their, it was, maybe it was their weapon, maybe they had a magical sword, like Prince Valiant had the singing sword, or guys would have really super horses that could go through fire.
This song is about that?
Guys might have magical powers that just weren't like anybody else. And this song is about a more modern hero that he lived in the late years of the 19th century. And he worked on the railroads. His name was John Henry. And he worked on the, there was a big tunnel project that went through a place called the Big Bend on the New River in West Virginia, because they were putting a railroad through for the Chesapeake and Ohio railroad line. John Henry was a steel-driving man. That means that he wasn't pounding little railroad spikes in to hold the rails on the to the ground. He was rather, he had a different kind of job. There were people who were tunnel workers. They were digging a tunnel through the mountain. And once you get into the mountain a little ways, pretty soon you run out of oxygen. You run out of air. You have to have a way to get fresh air into that mine. And the way they would do that was they would drive steel pipes about 6 inches in diameter. They'd drive them down from the top of on the mountainside above the shaft. They'd drive these steel pipes down into the shaft to allow air entry in there. And John Henry drove those pipes into the ground. And with any railroad song, it can take a while for it to get up to speed. Picked up a hammer and held it in his hand. Said, "Hammer gonna be the death of me." Said, "Hammer gonna be the death of me. Hammer gonna be the death of me. Yeah, hammer gonna be the death of me." When John Henry was a little baby, sitting on his pappy's knee, said the Big Bend tunnel on that sea and old road, "Papa gonna be." Yeah, Papa gonna be the death of me. Papa gonna be the death of me. Oh, Papa gonna be the death of me. Said to John Henry, "Gonna bring me a steam drill around. Gonna bring me a steam drill out on this job. Gonna whop that old steel on down. Whop that old steel on down. Gonna whop that old steel on. Yeah, whop that old steel on." Well, John Henry said to his captain, "Man ain't nothing but a man. But before I would let some old steam drill beat me down, but I'd die with my hammer in my hand. I'd die with my hammer in my hand. Gonna die with my hammer in my hand. Die with my hammer in my hand." Said to his shaker, "Shaker, you better pray, 'cause I'm swinging 40 pounds from my hips on down. If I miss a B.O. dying day, if I miss a B.O. dying day, if I miss a B.O. dying, if I miss a B.O. dying day." Now the shaker, he said to John Henry, "Think this mountain's caving in. Oh, but John Henry said, don't you worry, you fool head. Ain't nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Ain't nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Ain't nothing but my hammer sucking wind." Now that man that invented the steam drill, he thought he was mighty fine. But John Henry cut it down 16 feet and a steam drill. Steam drill midnight. Steam drill midnight. Steam drill midnight.
Sally Ann. When John Henry took sick of laying in the bed, Potty and Roasty like a man. Oh, Potty and Roasty like a man. Potty and Roasty like a man. Potty and Roasty like a man. Well, John Henry hammered on the mountain, and hammer was striking fine. But John Mountain's so tall, John Henry's so small. He laid down his hammer and he died. He laid down his hammer and he died. Yo, he laid down his hammer and he. Oh, he laid down his hammer and he died. What it took John Henry's poor body and he buried him in the sand. Every steam locomotive run through that town. So yon allows a steam drive, man. Yeah, Lonnie allows a steam drive. Yonder lies a steam dragon. Yonder lies a steam dragon. John Henry was a steel driving man.
Thank you very much, Fergus. That was lovely.
I'm going to make it.
That's great. That's great. Let me. We'll be right back with Reverend Friendly here in 2 seconds, folks. Stick around.
I'm ready for Freddy. I would like to speak to you of being. Just what is it to be? To be is to be wise, but not a stranger to the foolish. It is to be strong, but not to the undoing of the weak. To play with young children, not as fathers and mothers, but rather as playmates who would learn their games. To be simple and guileless with old men and women, and to sit with them at the shade of the ancient oak trees, though you are still walking with spring. To seek a poet, though he or she may live beyond the seven rivers, and to be at peace in their presence, nothing wanting, nothing doubting, and with no question upon your lips. To know that the saint and the sinner are twin brothers, whose father is our gracious king, and that the one was born with the moment before the other, therefore we regard him as the crown prince. To follow beauty, even when she shall lead you to the verge of the precipice, and though she is winged and you are wingless, and though she may pass beyond the verge, follow her, for beauty without before beauty is as nothing. To be a garden without walls, a vineyard without a guardian, and a treasure house forever open to the passers-by. To be robbed, cheated, deceived, or yes, misled and trapped and then mocked, yet with it all to look down from the height of your larger self and smile, knowing that there's a spring that will come to your garden to dance in your leaves and an autumn to ripen your grapes, knowing that if one of your windows is open to the east, you shall never be empty, knowing that all those condemned by wrongdoers and robbers, cheaters and deceivers are your brothers and sisters in need, and it's you that presents all of these in the eyes of the blessed inhabitants of that city invisible above this city. And now to you also, whose hands fashion and find all things that are needful for the comfort of our days and our nights. To be is to be a weaver with seeing fingers, a builder who is mindful of light and space, to be a farmer and feel his hiding treasure with every seed you sow, to be a fisherman and a hunter with the pieces for the fish and the beast, yet a still greater pity for the hunger and the need of man and woman. And above all, I say this, I would have you partners, each and every one, to the purpose of every man and woman, for only so shall you obtain your own good purpose. My dear friends, be bold just as well as meek. Be spacious and not confined, and until my final hour and yours be indeed your greater self. And now, before very long, we shall part. You shall go your way and I shall go mine. And though vast seas and great distances of land may separate us, still we shall be together upon our journey to the holy mountain. But before we go our several and separate ways, I would give to you the gleaning and the wisdom of my heart. Tell a lovely little word in many words, but never little words in any words. Tell a young lady whose hair shines in the sun, she is the daughter of the morning, but if you shall hear the kitty and pig-finger fight, be just as well as your own bones. My friend, I love you all. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Holy One.
Thank you. Is that it?
That was sweet.
What time we got?
We got 5 minutes, and then we're gonna call your buddy, right? Is that the plan?
I'll give you one more.
Do you have his number there? I give it.
Yeah.
To you? Oh, great.
Yeah. Thanks.
Narcissus, as many of us know, is a character in Greek mythology, a man who, never having viewed his image, discovered one day as he looked upon the surface of a lake, having seen himself for the first time. He began falling in love with the image as though it was another person. The more he looked, as the days went by, the more imprisoned he became, till eventually he was unable to tear himself away. The ultimate accomplishment of his desire to possess the love of himself in the lake could only lead to drowning. Somehow, through the many sermons, doctrines, and teachings of love thy neighbor, it has been implied, if not stated, that we are making a great sacrifice by loving others. This is definitely a misconception. But I say to you here and now, we need the love of others, not simply for their sake, but for the sake of our own self-preservation. I come not to strengthen your belief, but to tell you the truth. Understanding is the foremost means of furthering love, fraternity, sociability, togetherness, oneness. Language is practically the only and the most important means of reaching understanding. So the first step for reaching understanding and ultimately love is to learn to express ourselves clearly and listen thoroughly. Scientists, philosophers, sociologists, anthropologists, and so on have long ago known man to be a social being, gregarious in their very nature. No one is an island unto themselves. It can only be sickness to cause yourself to live alone or to hate people. The degree of hate is the measurement of your illness. We need love, our love and the love of others, to keep from drowning in the lake. We need love for the seeming confusion and despair of living. Only through the eyes of mature love for ourselves and others are we able to realize our only reasonable purpose in life. It is evident that we have come on this earth to create and procreate. As the existentialists have said it from, and the great wise men of times have always said, we are social beings, gregarious in nature. And we are born in our own hearts. Hallelujah. I'll get better. This is the first time I've worked in a year and a half because I was sick.
Nice, that's sweet.
So.
That was great. Can you understand him well enough, Jay?
Yeah.
Over the mic, that's great.
If you plug the headphones.
I haven't been. Look, I keep forgetting about your screen.
You have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, we are.
No, another few minutes.
We're live, folks. Hey, thanks, man. That was sweet. Yeah, well, there's just 3 minutes until we gotta call your buddy here.
This is about 4 minutes.
Yeah. Did you wanna get comfy and sit down?
The quintessence is the cream of the crop of the.
What about the talent show?
Did we do the talent show?
Not completely, really.
Maybe I should wait and get him on. You like this guy. He's great.
Kookaburra?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we get him on.
You can call
him? In a few minutes. But can we just tell him a little bit about your talent show for the benefit for the jobless and the homeless?
Oh, you go ahead. Yeah, she's doing good, and she never talked before. She's a wholesome.
The first time
she's
I've ever talked.
She's a joyful, wholesome lady. Very great. She's embarrassed.
No, it's only the first time I ever talked.
Yes, we are.
Thanks, Rev. And so are you. One of the reasons that Reverend Friendly would like to get together a talent show, you know, to benefit the jobless and the homeless is because, I'll just read what he said. Reverend Friendly shouts with joy, praise be to the Holy One for the Boulder Shelter and Boulder County Cares. They saved his life when he was homeless, and they saved him from much strife, struggle, and hardship many a time. One would have to say that they really do care about homeless folks. The Boulder Shelter's light so shined upon him that his life had become brighter by far. And I told you about the God-given talents that you know, that we all possess, that we know or we don't know. And, you know, everybody and anybody is, you know, welcome. And we need help to get it together, really. And he says, you know, if you're homeless or just getting by and the well-to-do Boulderites, if you see, as I do, that a talent show to benefit the jobless and homeless at Boulder Shelter is a worthwhile project, your help is required to pull it off, as I said. So we need volunteers and benefactors, co-workers, talented participants like Fergus, and last but surely not least, a place to do the show. I think we're all right with that, but, you know, that would be nice too. I guess you could say we need it all, he says. If you'd like to get involved, you could email Reverend at Reverend Friendly, actually at for Reverend Friendly to my email address. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be better, actually. Suzanne underscore 37 at Yahoo. Suzann underscore 37 at Yahoo.com. Or call, that's your number, Rev, right? 303-554-4410. I just have Rev in my phone, so I could like that song. I don't remember your name, your number. And reverendfriendly at gmail.com also.
Great Lakes Prayer Float.
Hello?
Hi, are you Reverend Friendly's buddy?
No, I'm not Reverend Friendly.
No, oh. His buddy.
He's friend.
He didn't hear.
Friend of Reverend Friendly.
Are you a friend of Reverend Friendly's?
Oh, a friend, yes, yes.
Oh, cool.
Louder.
Well, he's here.
He can hear him.
Oh, put on your headphones, dude.
Okay.
Sorry, dude. We are here live with Reverend Friendly, and I'll try and turn you on the monitor here.
Hey, Cuckoo Bear.
Hey, Vern. How you doing?
How the hell are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Well, I want to tell you something, and I want you to answer Susan on this. We talked about truth. She doesn't understand this. When chills run up your spine, when the hair stands up on the back of your neck, when your eyes fill with tears and your heart overflows with joy, well, then you know you've heard the truth. And Susanna doesn't. She wants to know what you mean by the truth.
Truth?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean by the truth? What is the truth?
What is the truth?
Yeah.
It's a subjective idea that each person has their own truth.
What's the truth?
But it's subjective.
Right, so you mean like each person that has, we each have our own reality?
Yeah. Everybody has their own illusion.
Right,
of whatever the truth might be.
Okay.
And so whatever that illusion is, that's what you think the truth is. So
right,
that would be your truth.
Right, like your truth is different to my truth, to Jay's truth, to Rev's truth.
Right.
Right, but you can replace that with reality, different reality.
Well,
because that's how I've always seen it. And truth doesn't seem to.
There are some things that are true, that are always true, like. Everybody's going to die. That's a fact, you know. It's the truth.
Yes.
So that's a universal truth. And there are some other universal truths.
Tell us about it.
Right. Well, there are lots, yeah.
Yeah.
But each person has their own reality, so their own different truth. The thing, yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For their own illusion. Everybody has their own truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what keeps everybody going, because they believe what they believe is to be true. But every once in a while, something comes up and you question that, and then you change your truth, and you change your illusion to fit the new truth.
Yeah, but it's still different to whoever else's illusion or truth is. But.
Yeah, that would be growing, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Oh, that's really great. Thanks. I understand that.
What we're trying to get across also is about God's gang. How great it means, you know. Flawless, quintessent, cream of the crop of the wisdom of the ages. And
are you talking about God and gang now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about how it's for those who want to follow their own spiritual path. I know there are others who feel the same way. I know you know that really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell us anything about God's game?
Can I tell you anything about God's game?
Well,
not that you probably already haven't spoken of.
No, we haven't spoken much about God's gang this evening yet, actually.
Oh, it hasn't?
You know.
Well, God's gang is an organization for people who are like-minded, like Vern and I, maybe.
Oh, I suppose I do.
Who are looking for organization or a way to find God and not go through the ordinary path.
That's beautiful. Well, I'm gonna do a song for you, a poem, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind, and whose breath gives life to all the world. Hear me, I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and let my eyes always behold the morning sunrise and the evening sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Help me to learn the secrets you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brothers and sisters, but to fight my worst enemy, myself. Make me always come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades a fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. That's, you know, that you said that isn't anonymous anymore. No, that's not. That's why they don't know who wrote that. I think it was an anonymous king, an anonymous Indian, of course. It must have been.
Yeah. God bless the Indians, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Cuckoo Bear, are you on the computer? You're not on the computer, are you?
No, not right now.
No, all right, yeah. Because you missed some very good banjo playing.
We have an old
Mr.
friend.
Mr. Fergus here.
We have a friend of mine here. He's going to do a little number for you. And then tell him a little bit about jazz or something.
Jazz.
Tell him some of those
words. All
he has
right.
It, he has it.
Can you hear it okay, Cuckoo Bear?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Have we got a couple of minutes for a whole song here, or you need just a snatch or something?
A snatch or something.
Go ahead, do the song.
Soon we'll come to the end of our journey, and perhaps never meet anymore. Till we come to the shores of heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the rose charming roses bloom forever, and where separations come more. So if we come to the end of our journey, I will see you on that evergreen shore.
Very nice.
A little something from If We Never Meet Again, This Side of Heaven.
Oh, that's lovely. That.
But it's a long song, so I only gave you the first part.
You gave it a snatch, snippet.
I'm gentle and generous tonight.
Yeah, that's nice. A nice song.
Here's one. I'm going to do one for you. Reverend Prinley's operational definition. And you might tell us a little bit about some of this. You know more about what I'm going to say than I do. And if you got anything to say about what we get done, I'd be really grateful. Reverend Prinley's operational definition. Listen to the hum of the universe. Feel yourself breathe the holy breath. Live in your own heart. Never lose faith. Faith is believing that which can't be proved or explained. Seeking realization. This is our destiny. The peace that passes all understanding. Do you need proof of God? Would you light a torch to see the sun? That which has to be proved cannot be worth much. Reverend Brendan has spoken. How'd you like that?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
But I don't understand that. That which has to be proved cannot be worth much.
Yes, she must, yes,
I but, don't understand that. Can you help me out with that, Cuckoo Bear?
That which does that has to be proved isn't worth much?
Yeah, can't be worth much.
Yeah, I have a problem with that too sometimes.
Have you really? Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, good. I mean, do you need proof of God? And then would you light a torch?
It means the same damn thing as the other one said. Just, would you like to get, do you need proof of God? Would you light a torch to see the sun? You just said the same thing as that which has to be true cannot be worth much.
Yeah, but you can't. But what does that mean? Do you understand what that means, Fergus?
I don't know.
That which has to be proved cannot be worth much?
I think he's talking about the importance of faith. Am I right there?
Yeah, correct.
I don't know.
Because, in other words,
well, yeah, about faith,
if someone
right.
has to prove it to you before you believe it, perhaps your belief will not be as strong as it would be if you take it on faith. Is that... And I don't want to put words in the Reverend Friendly's mouth, but I'm just suggesting that as a possible interpretation of that line.
That's pretty correct.
So you feel that faith trumps logic in this case?
I just think that faith is an important thing in everybody's life. I don't know if it trumps anything. Logic and faith probably don't go hand in hand.
No, they definitely don't.
So you really can't use faith and logic in the same context. You know, logically, there would be no faith because faith can't be proved.
Right.
So you can't logically deduce what it is that you're trying to prove or not prove.
Yeah.
So those are the things, in your words, that can be worth much, the ones that admit of no proof or need no proof.
Right, yeah. There are things that are just real. You know, there's no way to explain how they work, or how it works, how faith works. You just have to have faith, and then I don't know. That's not logical.
Yeah,
I get your point.
I understand that too perfectly. But
if
I
you
still,
say, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I still don't understand. I don't know why I can't. That which can't has to be proved cannot be worth much, because if you do prove something, that there are things that are worth a lot that are proved.
We're getting too many questions in here that aren't necessary.
No.
Mike D in the chat says, play another tune.
Okay, sorry. All right.
But no, it's cool.
You want to hear another tune?
Well, Mike D wants to hear another tune.
So, go Placidly. So noted, Mike.
Go Placidly and let the noise.
It may come, but we're in the middle of a...
Uh-oh.
You've got a great voice.
Picture, but we're in the middle of a heavy discussion here. And working out philosophical points, it might not be a great time to throw in a song for square dancing or something like that.
Jay isn't used to this kind of stuff.
We can do anything we want to do.
Yeah, especially when you're not
always
on
could,
air.
Huh?
That's right.
Always could and just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your own opinion of life as a whole?
I don't have an opinion of life as a whole. It's one thing. My only opinion is that I'm not going to get out of this alive.
I concur with that opinion.
Does that bother you at all?
Not at all.
No, me either. Does it bother you?
No.
No, don't bother. Well, good it shouldn't bother anybody.
I know it shouldn't, but it does a lot of people, though. A lot of people are afraid of dying.
That's because they don't know the uses of trying to figure that out.
That's one of those universal truths.
There you go.
I think a lot of people don't feel that they're afraid to die, but they don't want to die right now.
They have too many things they got to continue to do.
Whenever now is, it's not really the time they had thought about death occurring.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Sounds
well,
like
you
a
have
song
to die to go there, time. I guess.
Well, what about heaven on earth?
Heaven on earth?
Mm.
That's a state of mind.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
Something that we all create for ourselves.
It is. You're right.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily, it's not the same reality for everybody.
What sort of death does one have to go through to enter heaven on earth?
What? Oh, to realize that on earth?
Yes.
You just have to learn three things in life. That's all you have to learn. You have to learn to wait, fast, and meditate.
Is that meditating like thinking?
Meditation is like daydreaming, maybe.
Meditation is when your mind becomes so steady and quiet.
I can tell you a technique that that would help in your meditation is to concentrate on the area where your nostrils and the air meet. And just concentrate on that area and feel the air coming in and out of your nose. And that's meditation.
Your statement of just a little while ago reminded me of a passage in the book Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, where he comes, after living in the woods for a while and studying, he comes to the city and applies for a job with a storekeeper, and the storekeeper says, "What can you do?" And he responds, "I can think, I can wait, I can fast."
Right. Right, yeah. That's the truth.
That's where Cuckoo Bear got it from, right?
No, I don't think that's where I got it from.
No.
I think I got it from the Bhagavad Gita. I'm not really sure.
After 40 years in the buying and selling in that business, he came to the realization in Hesse's book that he had grown sort of fat and soft and felt that he was aging, and so that he now could no longer wait or think clearly or fast, that he had become too softened and too, too alienated from the spiritual and the path of consciousness that he had followed earlier before he went to the city. Yes, was caught up in the material world, as you say, and so at that point he left his city life and returned to the woods, as it were, and lived out his life.
And he returned to the woods to become the next ferry boat man.
Yes, he became the ferry boat man and listened to the lessons of the river. So that seemed to be an experience that could teach you to think and to wait and to fast.
My own answer is, meditation is when your mind becomes so steady and quiet that all worldly chatter is gone.
Meditation
is when your mind becomes so steady and quiet that all worldly chatter is gone.
No, that's not really true. Your mind can't become that quiet or that steady. Meditation is not being taken away with the thoughts that are going through your mind, but the thoughts will still be in your mind.
That's a good one. Give you credit. give you an A.
The idea is that your concentration can keep you you focused. So if you concentrate on the end of your nose and feel the air moving in and out of your nostrils, you'll be in a state of concentration.
Well, you're getting tough tonight, buddy. That's the truth. Huh? That's the truth. There's nobody that, and the reason people don't usually do it is because they're not. It's so natural to breathe that you don't think about. You said that one day, but most people fail on that because they're so used to breathing that they don't think there's no way to think they should breathe different. I mean, they know how to do it already. Or am I wrong? Am I getting to the
Everybody thinks they know how to breathe right. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but that's
nobody what... breathes right anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, I've been telling people for 45 years how to breathe right, and nobody ever does it, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm one of those 40,000 people, and I do it. And I think about you every time I do it. And I do it not 24 hours a day, but I'm very conscious about doing it.
You are?
I am, yes.
I'm glad to hear that.
Since we talked, when that right, yeah. was. Thanks, yeah. Yeah, no, thank you.
Has it helped?
It has helped tremendously, and it's helped in certain situations even.
That's good, I'm glad. That's what it's meant to do.
Yeah, so you have one success under your belt. At least one.
Yeah, I just need to get the Reverend to do it a little bit.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah, it would be.
If he had more breath, where would that leave the rest of us? Come on. We have to keep a chokehold on this guy, just to anybody else to get a word in.
Well, see, if he stopped to concentrate and concentrate on his breath, everybody else could talk a while.
I think he's meditating right now. He seems to.
Yeah, I think he probably is too.
I want to do one more, and you tell me what you think of it.
All right. Oh,
okay.
This is a little pessimistic.
This is what, sorry?
Very pen. Well, you call it pessimistic, but it's not pessimistic, it's realistic.
Realistic, not pessimistic. Okay, thank you.
I am a puny part of the great whole. Yes, but all animals condemned to live, all sentient beings born by the same stern law, suffer like me, and like me also die. The vulture fastens on its timid prey and stabs with bloody beak the quivering limbs. All's well, it seems, for it, but in a while the eagle pulls the vulture into shreds. The eagle is transfixed by shafts of man, the man prone in the dust of battlefields, mingling his blood with dying fellow men, becomes in turn the food of ravenous birds. Thus the whole world and every member groans, all born to torment and to mutual death. And over this ghastly chaos, you would say, the ills of each make up the good of all? What blessedness! And as with quaking voice, mortal and pitiful, you cry, all is well. The universe belies you, and your heart refutes 100 times your mind's conceit. What is the verdict of the vastest mind? Silence. The book of fate is closed to us. Man is a stranger to his own research. He knows not where from he comes nor whither goes. Tormented atoms in a bed of mud, devoured by death, a mockery of fate. But thinking atoms whose far-seeing eyes, guided by thoughts, measure the faint stars. Our being mingles with the infinite. Ourselves we never see or come to know. This world, a theater of pride and wrong, swarms with sick fools who talk of happiness. Once did I sing in less lugubrious tone the sunny ways of pleasure's general rule. But times have changed, and taught by growing age, and failing from the forefront of mankind, I can but suffer, and will not complain. I'm trying to pick it back up again. Would you consider that fantastic, or would you consider that realistic or pessimistic?
I don't know.
Nice.
I guess it would depend on how you're looking at it. Some people could say it was optimistic and some say pessimistic.
That's right, your perception.
It's just a matter of how you interpret those things.
Matter of your perception, right.
Right. It hasn't got anything to do with what you want to call it. It depends on each person's individual education or experience in life.
Very true.
How they would see whatever it is you're talking about.
You got anything to say there, Biggie?
Well, you know, one of the reasons for the rise of monotheism throughout the world, it seems to me, was that in places like ancient Greece, each city-state had its own god. And it was the patron, you know, the patron or patroness of that city-state. Athens had Athena, and other states had different supreme beings. As people traveled around, they discovered that what was God in the last place they were was not God now. And so these gods had only relative power. They were good in one place, but they weren't good everywhere. They were only then true some of the time. And people felt, well, what good is a relative God? We want somebody who's the real champion here, the one who takes care of everything, who's in charge of everything. And I think that that sort of opened the gate for notions of monotheism, belief in a single supreme being, and those people then sort of tramped through the Mediterranean, wiping out all the polytheists, all the people who had their own regional god but were not united among a huge population behind a single figure.
Right.
Their cultures got wiped out militarily, although that military superiority seemed to arise from a feeling in the population that they had found finally the one true God. If they had only one God, it had to be the true God. They had to reject everyone else's gods. And before too many centuries, the old deities, the Greek ones, of places that were associated with particular wells or mountains or glens, they were not so much eliminated as they ceased to have sufficient following that within the broader arena of the civilization throughout the Mediterranean, those deities ceased to exist. As the situation is today, they often say, if you're not on TV, you're nowhere. Nobody's ever heard of you. So however good you may think you are, however holy you may think you are, or you may be, if, as the Bible says, don't hold your lamp under a bushel, if people can't find out who you are, in fact, maybe if they're not bombarded by your image, then for them, you don't exist. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
You got anything to say about it?
The idea
long,
is
a long lead-up to a question for a very short answer.
What's up?
The idea of lesser gods, what?
Are you talking over me, Vern?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, he's not.
Sometimes the lesser gods that you spoke of are actually a way for people to commune with nature, which is what we've lost in the process of having one God. We've lost the process of worshiping nature in an individual manner, like maybe through the birds or animals or plants or whatever. And people need to go back to cultivating the nurturing the natural order of things.
Do you think that loss of respect or that loss of the thought of the sacredness of nature has contributed to the modern world's, shall we say, assault on the environment?
Yeah, well, that's how they justify it, is because we need more oil and gas. So we got to do what we have to do. We can't live without it. So let's just tear down paradise, and we'll have all the gas we need. That's how they justify it, and I think that's how they use the idea of one God to help justify that.
It also leads to a kind of us or them mentality, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Either you are all the way with us, or you are our sworn enemy 100%.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
A kind of an off-on, a binary system, very digital.
Right.
I want to try to do one, if I can, about God. I don't know. I haven't done it in a long time. And I hear much talk of God in the world today. What do you say of God, and who is the Holy One in very truth? My dear friends, think now of a heart that contains all your hearts, a love that encompasses all your loves, a spirit that envelops all your spirits, a voice enfolding all your voices, and a silence deeper than all your silences and timeless. Seek now to perceive in your selflessness a beauty more enchanting than all things beautiful, a song more vast than all the songs of the sea and the forest. A majesty seated upon a throne where its configuration of stars and the sky is nothing save the glimmer of two drops. You sought always only food and shelter and the trivialities of this world. Seek now one who is not only an aim for your arrows nor a stony cave to shield you around the elements. And if my words are a confusing riddle, then seek nonetheless that your hearts may be broken and your questions may lead you on to the love and the wisdom of the Most High, whom we call God. And if you are perplexed and confused in your hearts, so what? Just remember that perplexity is the beginning of wisdom. You would rise in your imagination onto the heavens above, and you consider this a great height. And you would pass over the vast sea and claim it to be distance. But I say unto you, when you sow a seed in the earth, you reach a greater height. And when you hail the beauty of the morning to your neighbor, you cross a greater sea. Too often do you sing God the Infinite, yet you hear not the song. Which you might listen to the songbirds and to the leaves that forsake the branch when the wind passes by. Forget not, my friends, that the leaves sing only when they are separated from the branch. Again, I bid you speak not only for God the truth, speak more for God the all, who is our friends forever. Amen. I skinned it up a little bit. I'm still...
Maybe I could...
That sounded pretty good.
Maybe I could add a medium-length song here. That be appropriate?
Certainly.
Another a cappella number.
Go ahead.
It's about 150 years old, and it sounds like a Shaker hymn, if you know about the Shakers, but really it was written by the wife of a minister in 1864. My life flows on in endless song. Above earth's lamentation, I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails the new creation. Above the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though the tempest loudly roar, I hear the truth, it liveth. And though the darkness round me close, songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? I lift mine eyes, the cloud grows thin. I see the blue above it, and day by day this pathway clears, since first I learned to love it. The peace of God restores my soul, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine, since I am loved. How can I keep from singing?
Bravo, bravo. Let's have a little
yeah. hand. I thought it spoke a little bit to our discussion and still was a song I knew.
When Earth's last picture is painted and the tubes are twisted and dry, when the oldest colors are faded and the youngest criticus die, we shall rest, and faith we shall need it. Lie down for an aeon or two, till the master of all good workmen shall put us to work anew. And those who are good shall be happy. They shall sit in a golden chair. They shall splash their 7 league canvas with brushes of comet's hair. They shall have real saints to draw from, Magdalene, Peter, and Paul. They shall work for 100 years in a sitting and never be tired at all. No one in the preachers shall praise us, and no one in the preachers shall blame. And no one shall work for money, and no one shall work for aim. But each shall work. I gotta start this again. When Earth's last picture is painted, and the tubes are twisted and dried, when the oldest colors have faded, and the youngest critic has died, we shall rest, and faith we shall need it. Lie down for an aeon or two, until the master of all good workmen shall put us to work anew. And those who are good shall be happy. They shall sit in a golden chair, shall splash in a 10-leaf canvas with brushes of comet's hair. They shall have real saints to draw from, Magdalene, Peter, and Paul. They shall work for 100 years in a sitting and never be tired at all. And only the master shall praise us, and only the master shall blame. And no one shall work for money, and no one shall work for fame. But each for the joy of working, and each in a separate star, shall draw the things as he it, by the God of things as they are. That's all from me for a little bit.
That's good.
Well, you liked it? I'll do one more then. You shouldn't have said
that. Did you get your beer?
Oh, did you get your beer?
No, I did not get my beer yet. Well, but go I can beer. Go get it, and you guys can just go off. I don't care.
That boob and Adam, may his tribe increase, woke up one night from a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight in his room. That boob and Adam, may his tribe increase, woke up one night with a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight in his room, making his light like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold, exceeding peace made by Adam bold. And to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised his head, and with a look made of all sweet accord answered, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "No, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low but surely still and said, "I pray thee then, mark me as one who loves his fellow men." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night it returned again with a great wakening light and showed the names of those whom love of God had blessed. And lo and behold, Ben Adam's name, not all the best, let all the rest. I like that because it just means it don't matter.
Why do you like it? Because the answer to that is...
Well, actually, the answer to it is you don't need to go to church. You just got to love your fellow man. Kindness is, here's what it is, that's what I wanted to say. Kindness is a virtue greater by far than all the prayers in the Holy Temple. That answers it, doesn't it? Does that answer it, cool?
Pardon?
Does that answer it? Kindness is a virtue greater by far than all the angels. The poem I just did, about Abu.
Oh. The poem you just did about Abu?
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good one.
But I think the answer to that is kindness is a virtue greater by far than all the prayers in the Holy Temple.
That describes the free
I think, I don't know if that's true or not, but it could be.
Why don't you know if it could be true?
Pardon?
Why do you mean you don't know if it's true or not?
What, the kindness?
Yeah.
Well, it's subjective again, you know. That, you know, am I going to look at it, my kindness, or is somebody else going to say I was a kind person? That's all subjective stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Mike D says, "Hell yeah, Rev, that was awesome." In the chat. Mike D. He must be a big fan.
Well, personally, it's kind of hard for me to just talk instead of reciting, doing, reckon, what did I say, Emphasization. That's the most important. You got to emphasize. Because people don't
emphasize?
Huh?
Are you emphasizing?
But I mean, it's just, we live in a talking society. And, how do people listen? Saying something over again sometimes is worthwhile, is necessary. That's what I'm trying to say.
So that goes along with, if you have to prove it, it's not worth much?
Yeah. That was Nietzsche. But anyway, and myself, it was a little difficult for us all, I think, because we never was talking together like in this.
Well,
done this a time or two before.
Trying to think about my song, and I wasn't thinking about that.
He's probably used to the campfires, not the microphone.
People all over the country, all over the world, got inspired to make music by the man who wrote this song, and a lot of them got inspired to play the banjo. I count myself one of those. I'm talking about a 94-year-old man now named Pete Seeger. Everybody's heard of him. He's had some enemies in his life. They were the enemies of truth. They were people who hated, people who had greed in their hearts. He opposed those people. He didn't try to do violence to them. His banjo had the inscription on it, "This machine surrounds hate and forces it to surrender." Here's a song he wrote in the days when he was traveling with Woody Guthrie and doing union organizing. Shadowed year when evil men, when men of evil plunder war again. Shall tyrants once again be free to tread above our most brave and honored dead, our brave and honored dead? Oh, comrades, come and travel on with me. We'll go to our new year of liberty. To travel onward to a better year, where love is and brotherhood, and there will be
nor fear. Where love is and no fear. Tomorrow is a highway broad and fair, and hate and greed shall never enter there. But only those who've learned a better way of brotherhood to greet the coming day, to greet the coming day. Tomorrow is a highway broad and fair, and we are the many who will travel there. Tomorrow is a highway broad and fair, and we are the many who will build it then, and we will build it then.
A song of hope from a very hopeful man.
Very good.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you hear any of that?
Yeah, I heard it all.
I still want to bring that back in it. When I should do this again sometime, I need more practice, and I think we should pat ourselves, all everybody here. We've all said something worthwhile. And I think, and then if anybody else wants to talk, they can. I'll do the confessions. I call that the flawless condescent cream of the crop of the wisdom of the ages. The flawless, quintessent, cream of the crop of the wisdom of the ages, go to the Desiderata. Oh, placidly amidst the waiting. Go placidly amidst the waiting.
Oh. Excuse me, we're moving Rev again.
Oh, you don't need
to. No, he needs to walk okay. around.
Cool, yeah.
No.
That's
the problem.
Go placidly amidst the noise.
Go ahead, over there.
I'll get it. I'm all right now.
All right.
Go placidly amidst the noise and haste. And remember what peace will be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant, for they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive people, for they are vexatious to your spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements just as much as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession in the changing portions of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of secrets. Hold time and wait, I gotta do this again. I gotta have one more time in it, and I won't. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant, for they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive people, for they are vexatious to your spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements just as much as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession, changing portions of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not fake affection, neither be cynical about love. In favor of all curiosity and things like love is brings the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings, for many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it's clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life. Keep peace with your soul, with all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams. It's still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be in heaven. Beyond wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You're a child in the universe, and less than the trees and the stars, you have a right to be here. And whether or not it's clear, you know doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it's still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. That got me. It's taken me a while to get my... I didn't have no problem with it at all, but no, I kind of fluttered up a little bit. But thanks a lot for listening.
Well, we'll edit it later.
Did you hear all that, Cuckoo Bear?
Yes, I did. I heard it quite well.
Good job, Rev.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Thank you. That's a great. I call that the flawless, quindescent cream of the cream of the whip. Wait, the flawless.
Uh-oh. That mic is...
Not quite flawless, oh,
that,
eh?
That mic cable's not working.
The flawless, quindescent, the wisdom of the ages. I have a hard time shutting up once I get started, but I'm... Anybody else want to say something tonight? What do you got to say, Cuckoo Bear? I did the best I could.
Did you get that, man?
Tell us something about life worthwhile. Put some pressure on Cuckoo Bear here. Can you think of anything to tell us about life?
About life?
Yeah.
Yeah, live it and be happy.
Live it and be happy, yeah.
You think it's true that without music, without a sense of humor, life would be a mistake?
Of course.
If you can't laugh,
you have to laugh.
You can't laugh, you're fucked.
That's for sure.
Well, I don't know about that, but you do need to laugh.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
I would have been dead not
locked. What do you think about going on here, Dan? Javon Doe?
Javon Doe.
What do you guys say tonight?
I love it.
We want to get
you
in.
Oh, man. Good stuff, man. Thanks a lot.
I thought it was... I'm well satisfied. Cool. We never did it. We didn't know. Anyway, we should do it again. Would you like to do it again sometime?
Sounds fun.
You mean now?
No. Do it again sometime.
Sometime. Sure, give it a try.
Yeah, well, you I thought...
Bound to be easier next time.
Our gentleman, his name is Fergus Cuckoo Bear.
Huh?
His name is Fergus.
Fergus?
Yeah. The guy that did all the singing.
Scottish name there.
Oh, okay.
You sure brought a lot of, made the whole show
nice
more.
Nice meeting you, Fergus.
Pleased to meet you, Cuckoo Bear. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, good talking to you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, I didn't have really a lot to say, but it's fun anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you said quite a bit.
What you said, yes, you certainly did.
Yeah, we're going to take a really quick break. Stick around, guys, if you want, and we'll figure out what we're going to do next. This is some jams I recorded recently at the Boulder Outlook with Scotty and Alicia and all the guys at the Boulder Outlook. Thanks.
Got out my guitar, I went out to play the blues. On down to the sports bar, they said, I could play with you. All the people sitting there, they were mesmerized. Looking up at the TV, football game televised.